We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's Into Tomorrow for the weekend of August 3rd, 2018. Thank you for joining us on the program. As that dude, the announcer guy, just said, I am Dave Graveline. He...
Chris Graveline.
Is Chris Graveline.
Is Chris Graveline.
Yeah, he is. Right.
Yeah.
And he in the control room is Erasmo. And he up in New York City is Horatio. And Beth in Naples. We're scattered around the globe to bring you into tomorrow, which kind of reminds me in, a month or so, we'll be in Berlin, Germany.
We will.
For our 128th edition of of IFA and covering that huge consumer tech show. We don't want you to miss a minute of that, and hopefully you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, and that usually ends, by the way, our annual cool into tomorrow hot summer giveaway. So you want to get your calls in the next few weeks for sure while there's still some cool hot summer giveaway prizes. And stay tuned. We're going to highlight some and we're going to tell you about many of the others. We've added a couple of more this week. So you want to stay tuned because you may win those. And all you have to do is participate on the program. You don't have to participate, but if you want to win one of those prizes, you need to participate. And participate's the key. We love your calls that say, love the show, but that doesn't qualify you. You have to ask a question, make a comment, help another listener, share your favorite app, whatever.
You got to make us work. Make us and our research team work. Ask us a question that we've got to answer. Then
okay.
We'll get you a prize.
Well, now you're pushing it. You have to make us work. But all right, we'll buy that. Well, that's kind of what we do. And then we'll send you prizes. So do watch your email, too, by the way, after you participate, because you'll be getting an email from Prize Closet at Graveline.com. Ah, that's legit. Don't let us end up in your spam filter, because then you won't ever know. And we won't have your address to send you goodies and all that fun stuff. So tech news and commentary, and then we'll get to your calls and some of those cool prizes. Do stay tuned. What you got?
MoviePass is going through a rough patch right now after raising prices and limiting new movies in an attempt to stay in business. In fact, in related news, they actually shut down temporarily last week because they ran out of money.
Yeah, I was actually going to go to a movie that evening. And, of course, they've been screwing us with peak pricing and all that. Oh, yeah, because they have no money and they're just spending it like crazy. And I think it was Thursday last, I don't know, one day last week, and the app wouldn't work. Nothing worked. No theaters showed up. No movies showed up. So, oh, great, they're out of business. Well, they essentially were.
For a few days, because their parent company had to borrow $5 million
just to pay the theaters for the tickets. Mind you, we've already paid our $9.95 a month for the month and can't go see movies, or the ones we want to see are costing $5 and $6 more money over and above what we spend because they call it peak pricing.
Yeah.
Well, the couple of theaters in our area that we typically go to are all large and they're half empty all the time anyway. So what's the point? And then they started it, especially for the kids ones, the kids movies, or the ones that the kids would love. Not Titanic. Why do I keep saying that?
Teen Titans.
The Teen Titans and also the blah, blah, blah.
Hotel Transylvania.
Thank you very much. See, I have to just quote pieces of movies and then you'll tell me the title. It's a game we play. Yeah, that's it. Do I win a prize? No. but then they start these alleged peak pricing things. You would think, okay, you know what? I get it. Date night, 9, 10 o'clock. Friday, Saturday nights, yeah, that's when the theaters are mostly packed. Fine. You want to play the peak pricing game? Go ahead. Rip us off for more money. But no, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're doing this. So you can't even go to a matinee with the kids and not have to spend a fortune. So yeah, I'm not impressed with these clowns at MoviePass.
Yeah, you know, and if they thought that problem-solving specialist Elon Musk might be able to help, then they're out of luck.
Oh.
BuzzFeed writer Samir Mizrahi tweeted to Musk last week saying, "Can you fix MoviePass?" The SpaceX and Tesla entrepreneur apparently thought it was best to squash any hope and responded with a terse, "No."
Even Elon Musk can't fix MoviePass. They're just screwed.
Yeah, you know, Mizrahi then invited Musk to go see a movie, but Musk failed to respond to that message. Now, then the Twitter thread evolved into a series of requests for Musk to fix various things, including the Flint water crisis and a broken Apple charging cable. You know, Elon Musk has a creative track record of problem-solving complex issues, but even he won't touch MoviePass. Now, that didn't stop Twitter followers from trying to talk him into it. One Twitter user posted, "Please, we need cheap movies on Mars."
Yes. Well, because he's pushing Mars, so, you know, flying to Mars, so let's have cheap movies there. Oh, man. Facebook shut down more than 24 inauthentic accounts and pages this past week that sought to inflame social and political tensions in the United States and said their activity was similar to those of Russian accounts during the 2016 election. The action marked the social media giant's first significant acknowledgement of an ongoing coordinated propaganda campaign on its site since it implemented the new safeguards after the 2016 vote. So if they're actually proactively doing something and not just shutting down people that are real and just have opinions that Zuckerberg doesn't believe, then fine. Inauthentic accounts, absolutely. Shut them down. Close them down. Twitter should be doing the same and has been. They need to do more because there's a whole lot of bots out there just doing bizarre things. But if they're real people and they have an opinion that you don't agree with, that doesn't mean they're inauthentic. And they're putting people in Facebook jail all the time for the most ridiculous things and trying to justify it.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know that you watch the show Homeland, and I know anybody else has seen it. You know, I never even thought about this possibility until I saw that on the show about these, you know, these bunkers that have, you know, hundreds of computers where people have multiple fake accounts and they're just doing things just to sway public opinion. And
that was an awesome episode because it was like, see, of course it's happening, and there's true to life. They did a whole episode about it on Homeland. So, yeah, if you haven't checked that out, I think they're in, like, season 7 now or something. So it's a lot of binge-watching if you want to catch up. But, yeah, that does happen. And it's not just the Russians either. The Chinese, the North Koreans, you know, the folks in Turkey. I mean, they're doing it all the place, all over the world, Iran. So, yeah, it does happen. Mm-hmm. And part of it is you just have to know, or at least question, whether or not it's one of these bots and don't believe everything you see. Because, yeah, there, of course there's a lot of fake news, and they oftentimes will generate it in those cases. So you just kind of watch for that kind of stuff.
Tablet computers and a software vulnerability were enough to help 364 prison inmates in Idaho collectively steal $225,000.
Oh, my gosh.
The tablets were issued by JPay, which is a company that specializes in offering an online system for prison inmates.
J as in jail.
I guess so.
Yeah.
The services on board the tablets can let inmates read and write emails, view educational materials, and access entertainment. But apparently the JPay system also contained a vulnerability involving account credit amounts, which inmates across 5 Idaho correctional facilities decided to hack. 50 inmates credited their accounts in amounts of more than $1,000. The highest amount credited by a single inmate was $9,990.35. Jeff Ray, spokesman for the Idaho Department of Corrections, said this conduct was intentional, not accidental. It required a knowledge of the JPay system and multiple actions by every inmate who exploited the system's vulnerability to improperly credit their account. Mm. Now, these are accounts, I guess, that let the inmates, you know, buy things from the commissary and things like that.
Yeah, get cigarettes or candy or whatever.
So they're saying that the $225,000 was stolen from the JPay system itself and was not taxpayer dollars. And, you know, I guess apparently all these inmates are now facing extended
I hope. I hope so. I mean, I've heard some people say, "Why on earth were they getting tablets to begin with? They're in jail." Well, I don't disagree with that. However, I know the answer to that, and that is attempts at rehabilitation and attempts at allowing basic communication. And you wouldn't be doing that with hardened criminals, you know, in bigger detention facilities, etc. But look what happens. I mean, the proverbial, try to do something good, somebody's going to screw it up. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, several somebodies in this case.
Yeah.
Wow. A long-time legal spat between Apple and Qualcomm led to a very public breakup between the two. Well, now the iPhone faces potentially weaker connectivity as Apple looks to alternate modem providers in 2018 and beyond, for that matter. So now Apple will be sacrificing performance in order to maintain their pride. So letting pride get in Apple's way. And along Apple lines, interestingly enough, even though Apple had a pretty good third quarter, even better than some expected, fourth quarter expected to be pretty good, they are being beaten once again in smartphone sales. Strangely enough, it's the Chinese smartphone maker Huawei. They pushed past Apple in sales with over 54 million smartphones shipped. This, by the way, in spite of all the pressure and warnings from U.S. officials about possible spy gear in their phones and all that sort of thing, and not even having a U.S. carrier as a partner. So Samsung, still number one in smartphone sales, but now followed by Huawei and then Apple.
Well, and it's Samsung by far.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying Samsung has 20.9% of the share, Huawei has 15.8%, and Apple has a mere 12%.
Yeah, I know. Who would think it? Because you know, it's like everybody I know has got an iPhone, well, except me. I'm an Android. But there are many of us. Thank you very much. But you're right. Samsung by far number one, and then it was pretty much almost always Apple number two. Yeah, by some distance, but number two.
They said this is the first time in 8 years that Apple hasn't been in the number one or two position.
Wow. So that's got to hurt their pride.
I'm sure.
A little bit. So even as they close in, by the way, on becoming the first $1 trillion company in the world. I mean, maybe by the time you're hearing this, they hit $1 trillion value. But either way, good for them. But hey, pride stands in the way, and people are still shelling out $1,000 for the iPhone X.
It's easier to make that kind of money while still selling less when you charge way too much for a phone.
It just goes to show, again, Apple's pride getting in the way, which is now why future phones are probably going to sacrifice performance, because they just refuse to deal with Qualcomm and their chips and so forth. And they've had a big spat with Intel. They just don't get along with a lot of other tech companies in many cases. And now they've been pushed aside by Huawei, of all companies. I mean, I would have expected maybe, you know, an LG or somebody else that you've heard of. But no, LG is way in the distance. And a couple of people told me the other day they bought their last LG phone because they hate it. So I said, well, look at Huawei if you're not worried about being spied on. Mm-hmm. But Huawei, of all companies, beating Apple in smartphone sales. Pretty wild.
That's crazy. Google Docs at long last is getting a grammar checking feature, which will be able to identify mixed up words like affect and effect, incorrect tenses, improper uses of commas and clauses, and more. To do all of that, Google says it'll be relying on machine translation, the same technology it uses to translate between multiple languages. Except instead of translating a sentence from, say, French to German, it sounds as though it'll be translating your imperfect writing into a grammatically correct passage. Details on what the grammar checking feature is capable of and exactly how its AI will work are limited right now. All we know is that Google is already quite capable when it comes to machine translation. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, the company said that its tech was approaching human levels of accuracy. So it makes sense that Google would lean on its already established tech when developing this feature.
But here's something I want in Google Docs. I mean, that may be helpful because we use Google Docs a lot for a lot of things. But I want dictation in Google Docs. I'm using the heck out of it in Outlook and in Word with Office 365, and not to give Microsoft credit, but kudos, because I do use it a lot. People walk back by my office and hear me talking to myself. No, he's just dictating an email, you know, or he's talking to Word. But I want to do the same in Google Docs and in Hangouts. I do it on my phone with Hangouts all the time. Why can't I do it on my desktop?
I can always tell when I get a Hangout message from you that's been dictated, because sometimes it doesn't really make sense.
Well, I always try to go back and correct them, but not always. A lot of times. Okay, wait. Once in a while, I'll go back and correct. Like, for example, when it spells Cameron with a C, I don't want to do that to the poor six-year-old, because I want him to get his due, and he's Cameron with a K, so that's much more important. And I always want to make sure to take care of him there, because he takes care of the show.
Call in, win stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. He's always there when we need him. That's Cameron with a K. Yeah. So I try to fix that. But yeah, I would like to dictate on the desktop.
Well, you know, I've always found it interesting when I'm using my iPhone to dictate a text message or an email, and you know, I'm watching it as I'm saying it. It you know, has what I'm trying to say. Then, as it continues, it then changes what I just said to something completely different that might, sounds like it might be. I was like, but you had it right to begin with. Don't change.
Don't mess it up. And then you assume if you're looking at it as you're dictating that it's okay, and then you go hit send and go back. They changed it. That was bad. Yeah.
And just a reminder, if you've got a question for us and want a chance at winning something from our Cool Into Tomorrow Hot Summer giveaway, call us at 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Oh, and we'll have one of those calls right after this here on Into Tomorrow.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now, with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. Call right now. 888-912-1332.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Don't forget you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow by visiting our website at intotomorrow.com. Streaming is provided by streamguys.com.
Joe in Durham, North Carolina, here's Into Tomorrow on 680 WPTF. Hello, Joe.
My wife and I were taking a trip this week, and her cell phone began to ring. Mm-hmm. We have a Nissan Sentra that I know has Bluetooth capability, so I had my wife press Bluetooth button on the steering wheel. We received a machine message through the speakers saying that no Bluetooth devices have been set up with the vehicle. We have a phone that is Bluetooth capable, but it is not a smartphone. It is a regular old flip phone. How would we set this phone up so we can use it without having to take it out of my wife's purse just by pressing the button on the steering wheel?
Well, Joe, as with any Bluetooth device, you have to pair it before you can use it. Pairing your phone to your car shouldn't be too hard as long as it has Bluetooth.
Yeah, now, first, you want to find Bluetooth in your phone's settings. Your car's radio should also have Bluetooth settings somewhere in those settings. Now, that varies by model and by specific audio setup the car has. Some have navigation, some have an LCD radio, some have something in between. Now, once you find the Bluetooth settings, there should be an option to connect a Bluetooth device. From there, it'll tell you what name to look for on your phone. It'll probably be something either related to the car's model or its radio's model. Connect to it from the phone's Bluetooth menu. Now, there might be a code that you need to type in to confirm that you want to connect those two specific devices.
Now, that should be it. From that point forward, your phone will connect automatically, and that button on the steering wheel should work the same way your wife tried to use it. Let us know if that doesn't work, and then give us a little more specifics, phone model, make and model of car, for that matter, and we'll do even some more digging, Joe, and try to help you out, because it's what we do here on Into Tomorrow, and we do appreciate hearing from you.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History. Here's Chris.
Here. Yeah, it's Chris.
Right here.
Right there.
This week.
Well, he's over there, actually.
Right. This week in 1876, Thomas Edison of Menlo Park, New Jersey, patented the mimeograph machine. He described it as a method of preparing autographic stencils for printing.
I remember in school smelling the mimeograph ink.
In 1944, this week, IBM dedicated the first program-controlled calculator, the Automatic Sequence-Controlled Calculator, also known as the Harvard Mark I. This wasn't the kind of calculator you could throw in your backpack. This calculator used 765,000 electromechanical components and hundreds of miles of wire.
Wow.
It was 51 feet long, 8 feet high, and 2 feet deep. In 1955 this week, Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering sold its first transistor radios in Japan. While you might not know Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering, you might know their new and easier name, Sony. In 1991 this week, Tim Berners-Lee released files describing his idea for the World Wide Web. 27 years later, it's now a part of our everyday life. And this week in 2012, NASA's Curiosity rover landed on the surface of Mars. Its job was to investigate Martian climate and geology, including the role of water, and planetary habitability studies in preparation for future human exploration. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
The cool into tomorrow hot summer giveaway.
Yeah, I thought I'd play the music because the orchestra was standing by, even though in this segment we've only got a couple of minutes to highlight one of the very cool things that we have available. Stay tuned, because in another few minutes we're going to run down a whole bunch of others. But one of the things that is really cool is from Trance, their copper sphere. They're calling it an executive toy. It's worth $120. They sent five of them to share with our audience. What? Tell me about this thing.
It's basically a perfectly round, shiny ball of solid copper.
Yep.
And they say it's oligodynamic.
It's what?
Oligodynamic.
What does that mean?
I assume I'm pronouncing that correctly. It means it naturally kills germs on contact.
Oh. Well, all right. It's dense between lead and steel in density, along with gold. It's the only non-grayish pure metal.
And they also say we each have about 2 milligrams of copper in our body without which we can survive.
Pretty cool. Check it out at intotomorrow.com.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-428-1570. 800-428-1570. 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570.
Our next guest, a startup company who's doing some rather unique things. Be sure to hit us up at intotomorrow.com, and you're going to see pictures of smart bandages, because they use wireless patient monitoring and health profiling using smart bandage technology. The company is called iSensus, and the CEO is Keith Airey. Keith, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thanks, Dave.
It's my pleasure as well. And you're doing, when I heard about what you do with wireless technology and smart bandages, my first question is, what the heck is a smart bandage? And then we'll take it from there.
Okay, so what we have here, these are smart bandages. Some people call them smart patches. And so you take these things and you stick them on the body. And that's all you need to do. And then they switch on. They have little radios in them. They have some really smart computing kind of stuff in them as well. And what they do is look inside your body in a very real sense, so that they can tell you how your heart is beating. They can tell you what your blood is doing. They can tell you what your body temperature is. They can tell you how you're moving. You know, moving is one of those things we've gotten used to with Fitbits and so on. But this is like a supersonic version of that kind of thing. In a way, a good way of thinking about this is, imagine you've been to a hospital and you've seen a relative, or maybe yourself have been into an intensive care ward. You're lying there, you're all strapped up, but you're getting all your data is being taken off and being put onto these machines that the doctors are looking at. With this stuff, it's nearly the same quality of data we're taking. We're taking every heartbeat, we're taking every pulse, and it's like being an intensive care ward, except you're walking around the streets. You can be at home, or you can be in any other bed in the hospital.
Because it's all being done through this bandage that we're wearing. You're sort of like Band-Aid 2.0 into tomorrow, if you will.
Absolutely that. But at this stage, we still need to use more than one of these bandages to get all the vital signs, so-called, that we're looking for. But it's exactly that. It's taken us into tomorrow. And we're really very much focused on this idea that in the future, this is the way all patients will be monitored. It's all wireless. There's no cables between you and those boxes on the wall. And the data and the information being collected is absolutely what your doctor wants to know.
So the Isansys bandage or patch wouldn't necessarily be covering a wound, or could it be? But it could just be anywhere on the body where we want to track these vital signs?
Sure. There's preferable points to put things on the body. Say, like, if you're trying to find temperature, a good place to get temperature is in the armpit, right, in the so-called axilla temperature. And that's because it's one of those areas on the body that is accepted by the clinical folks as being the place where you can get a good temperature reading.
See, I would have thought stick it on the forehead, but that's apparently not the best place, right?
Well, you can stick it on the forehead or the forehead, but it's just one of those things that patients, if you're wearing this all the time, they feel a little bit uncomfortable, or maybe they don't like to walk around and show that they've got this technology on. The good thing about this is you hide it under your clothes. You don't even need to know, or somebody else doesn't even need to know that you're being continuously monitored.
Now, by the same token, the fact that it can also be sort of a bandage, could it cover a wound as well and then therefore provide the same information, perhaps additional info?
That's a really interesting question, Dave. That's one of the things that we have done a little bit of work around that, but they're coming. Really interesting new bandages that can detect what's going on in the wound itself. And again, they'll have little radios in them, and they'll be able to say, is that wound getting better or is it getting worse? Is it time to change this bandage or is it not? And there's some interesting stuff coming on that. But I have to say, we're not working directly on that at the moment.
But it's coming, and the technology is available.
Just about there, yeah.
Now tell me about using some of your bandages on some U.S. Marines recently. That got my attention as well.
Yeah, one of the things that we are doing, we're starting to introduce this technology into the U.S. And we've been doing some work with some folks around Columbus, Ohio, and among other places. And there was an opportunity to test some of this on a training exercise with some of your Marines. And this is a really powerful way of being able to determine if you have a man out there and he's down, you know, you want to know what's happening. So this gives you a really good indication and make sure that, not only if you're the commander and you're back off the front line, but if you're on the front line, then somebody's kind of looking after your health there as well.
Wow, Keith, I'm kind of envisioning this, as I'm sure you have already, as being standard equipment at some point, too, especially whether it be military or first responders. I'm a former police officer in Miami. I can imagine if we had that kind of technology while I was a cop, to be able to just keep an eye on things, you would know, or whomever needed to know, if I suddenly was injured or down or otherwise, simply with this patch and the information that it provides to whomever needs to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a growing interest from people who are involved in tough conditions or dangerous jobs in this kind of technology. And again, it's one of those things that, I think in the near future in this case, we'll see a lot of people just stick something like this on just before they go out to work.
Now, I'm imagining my audience in my head asking questions. Come on, Dave, you haven't asked yet. Are we using sort of Bluetooth technology to a mobile device that we might also have on our person that is then transmitting this information somehow? And, of course, I'm sure encrypted and secure and all that, right?
Yeah, we're using Bluetooth. We're using Bluetooth, and we're transmitting it at this stage to a special tablet computer. But in the future, that'll be your own device. And what we're going to see here is that as this technology starts to enter the mainstream of real healthcare, clinical healthcare, and starts to be used there, and importantly, all the data that we're gathering is understood in terms of what it means about you as an individual, then it's going to come to people, and this is going to be as I said before, this is like super kind of wearable tech. This is the wearable tech that will enable you to really control conditions, change your life, and behave in a different way if you want to stay healthy. It's very fast feedback. There's some things built into this system that show, you know, if you've had a bad night out, I can tell you. I could tell you the next day. But
as if I wouldn't know myself, but the point is that you would be able to know, which by this patient portal information that you're getting would tell you some critical things and maybe be able to help me prevent it. Yeah, don't go drinking or otherwise deal with it appropriately.
Well, that's where it becomes really interesting. It's not that I know you've had a bad night out, Dave. It's and because we know that ourselves. It's that I know that if I undertake a little bit of exercise, eat some healthy food, just for that day, just for one day, I can see the difference, and I can detect it, and I can start putting a mathematical number against that as well. So this is the way things are going to happen in the future. So we'll go from this new way of being able to monitor patients in the hospital. It'll flow out, and it'll become consumer tech. Probably, I'm saying 5 to 10 years, but no longer than that.
But what's cool about that is that you do have a plethora of information available from this bandage, this patch that we could wear. Is this available now? Are we able to use it? You talked about using it in various training exercises. Is this something that that groups, doctors, otherwise can start utilizing?
Yeah, it's being used in several hospitals in different countries around the world already. And it is really about, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Dave. It is about the amount of data we have here. And it's good data. It's really good data. And by putting it all together in this way, you can see things that really haven't been able to be seen before. And another good way of thinking about this is that we often talk about what we're creating here are dynamic physiological images. Now, what I mean by that is what your doctor sees at the moment and the way your vital signs are taken. Imagine looking through an old black and white photo album. Every now and then somebody used to take a photo and they'd stick it in that book, and that represented you at that time. And then a few months later or a few days later, you might get another one picture. Now, imagine you fast forward this. You fast forward this so that instead of that photo album being an old black and white page by page, it becomes a super high definition color video. That's the difference. And that's what we're now creating, these wonderful new ways of being able to look at what's going on at us as human beings. It's not really been possible before outside of an intensive care unit, but an intensive care unit, by definition, man, you're there because you're sick, you know? And this is a way of being able to spread the knowledge, spread the learning.
And I think, Keith, one of the things you said early on was the mobility aspect, to not be confined to a hospital bed. If you can get up and move around, maybe even go home, go shopping, go do what you got to do, and yet your doctors can still, through this wireless bandage, the smart bandage, monitor what's going on with you, and perhaps at some point, if it's necessary, call you back in, or otherwise just say, okay, a little too much activity, or too less, whatever the case. I mean, I can see all kinds of aspects.
No, that's one of the big drivers at the moment. Actually, hospitals are both dangerous places and expensive places. And there's general trend in healthcare, professional healthcare, to have people in hospital for shorter times and better still treat them at home if possible. So, yeah, this happens like that. And one of the really incredible things about this, all this data can be processed, looked at, analyzed, and it doesn't tell you what is happening just now to you. It predicts what's going to happen in the future. And so your doctor looking at these dynamic images is able to say, hey, Dave, you know, tomorrow you're going to be feeling pretty sort of sick and sore unless you stop doing what you're doing now. Or, you know, I need to come and see you because you need a little bit of, your drug dosage needs to go up or down a bit like that. And so we're not talking about rapid response here. We're talking about predictive, planned interventions and totally different ways of being able to deliver care.
Love it. You want more information, we're going to link you to Keith's website, but here it is as well. It's Isanis, I-S-A-N-S-Y-S.
intotomorrow.com. Hit us up at intotomorrow.com. We'll get you there, and you'll see what Keith and his team are up to on a regular basis as they continue to help us all the way into tomorrow. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here at Con Ed in Berlin.
Thanks very much, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
And we're back with more. I'm Dave Graveline. This is the Advanced Media Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
If you look around at the things you use to stay connected, perhaps you can recall that there was a time when they just weren't there. But think about this. The kids can't recall that kind of a time, and they're using them in ways, sometimes exciting ways, that you may not have ever thought of even. They've barely opened the door into tomorrow. But we are here to help solve your digital dilemmas. Whether your kids can help you or not, consider us your kids. Yeah. Well, your older kids that can help solve any consumer tech question you have and answer those issues.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was going to say yes, indeed, and Dexcom.com. And then I stepped on your Dexcom.
I know, that hurt.
I know, and they're so good, we didn't want to do that. So, well, now we took care of them.
I'm hearing yours and Erasmo's alarms going off constantly, and I'm running in there with Oreo cookies and chocolate bars.
Yeah, Erasmo and I couldn't live in every sense of the word without our Dexcom monitors. So, yeah, do check them out, because they have literally saved our lives, and I'm not joking about that. Carl listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast, which you too can sign up for at intotomorrow.com. Did I mention they're free? Hey, Carl.
My idea to share with people today is the fact that you can get OCR done on Google, and the way to do it is if you take a picture or something and it needs to be convert it into usable text. If you take the picture and right-click in Google Drive and open as a Google Doc, it will do the OCR for you. Now, they tell me Office, Windows Office also does the same thing. I tried doing it with my 2013 version. Just went into a wormhole of complication, typical Microsoft. Yeah. You could also consider that.
Well, thank you, Carl. We appreciate that. Listeners helping other listeners are some of our most favorite calls, and anytime anyone has some input and wants to share some ideas or tech rage or solutions to things that you've encountered, by all means, we encourage your call. Carolyn in Clarksville, Mississippi, listens on Super Talk Mississippi. Hey there.
I have an Android. I don't know whether it's too old or what, but it always starts messing up, like it's getting too hot or some the battery or something, and I don't know whether I need a new battery or what.
Well, Carolyn, you might want to keep an eye on that battery if it's overheating. Batteries don't handle excess heat very well, and it could start swelling up, possibly. If it does, you could have a Samsung Note 7 situation on your hands. Now, I know you don't have a Note 7 because they've recalled them all, and nobody, well, a handful of people, but nobody else actually kept those phones, and I hope you don't have one of those.
Yeah, now, the phone getting too hot can have other causes, though. Excessive processor usage is what normally heats up a phone. Check under your settings and see if there's an app responsible for eating up most of your battery life. If that's the case, you may have a rogue app that you need to get rid of. If it's the operating system itself, you might benefit from restoring to factory settings instead. Now, the main sign that you need a new battery would be that either it's changing shapes or it doesn't last a very long time. Keep an eye for both of those, especially the battery swelling up, since that can be dangerous.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen because people have described the battery swelling and excessive heat and then exploding. Hopefully that's not going to be the case here, but just keep an eye on it to be safe. And if you're on the phone a lot, your battery oftentimes will heat up a little bit, not where it's so hot to the touch you can't touch it, but just keep an eye. Let us know what ends up happening and what make and model you have and if we can be of any further assistance. All the way, by the way, into tomorrow.com.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge, powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Hi there, welcome back to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. I'm Cameron Graveline and Chris Graveline in the studio and a Russ Mullen ratio in the control room. Now here's Dave.
Thank you, sir. Always love Cameron's input. Yep, I am Dave Graveline and
Chris Graveline. And this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by the OWC Thunderblade. For the creative professional who needs the absolute fastest storage with transfer speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second. Learn more at OWCDigital.com.
The Cool Into Tomorrow Hot Summer Giveaway.
Oh boy, if you haven't called into the program yet, you don't want to wait much longer because the summer giveaway ends with our IFA broadcast coming up next month. So get in there and win some cool stuff. Like, for example,
from Easy Viz, a couple of items. So a Mini 360 Plus Pan and Tilt Wi-Fi indoor camera and a Minio Pet and Minio Pink Wi-Fi indoor cameras.
New Hera sent a couple of their very cool IQ Buds Boost. Personalized and optimized earbud hearing experience worth $500, by the way.
From Hilby, they sent a couple of their Gobi 2s. These are the first wearable bands with 100% automatic calorie intake tracking.
Dynatrap sent their indoor pesticide-free bug trap, their DT-1050 covering a half acre for mosquito coverage and other goodies.
PhotoPro sent an X-Pod, a mini tripod with a built-in power bank for camera or LED light, and a MS-4C cell phone mini tripod with Bluetooth connection.
A10 sent their UH-3230. This is a USB-C multi-port dock, also with power charging, and it's worth $321.
HZO sent, they're a company that they handle waterproofing for electronics. They sent several pairs of the HZO protected Motorola Bluetooth headphones.
Oh, these are very cool as well. Several people have been asking for a lot of these items. No promises, no guarantees, but mention two or three of them when you call in. We'll do our best to get whatever's left as the summer begins to come to a close. Cedar Electronics, for example, their Escort Max 360C. It's the first driver alert system for the connected car at a $700 value, and their Cobra Dual View HD Dash View system with iRadar, valued at $230.
From Moda, JetJet Ultra, world's smallest streaming drone.
So you want to win any of these things? Call 800-899-INTO anytime, 24/7. Call in and win.